before, please give rise to the supreme motivation of bodhicitta, which is that one will attain enlightenment for limitless sentient beings.
Tela kasangam tru tukpa kirap je parsein ne number tharpa go som dan to som nyamba nye dan ya rekso mo som jiba ye kirap par sin do kyo ki sabat.
So we're now come to the sixth paramita. It's on page 39 in the books. And the root verse reads, through actualizing the three gates of full liberation, the equal nature of the three times and the three types of knowing as well, may I perfect the paramita of prajna.
Tuntan tempe mentempe so namdo govemba number tarpe go tungpa nyita. Yorja so lan tseme nama mepa, tse nang mepa, tse nang mepa se jete tseme nama le hemba mepa na ukoko yis. Nama mepa hewa number tarpe go tseme mepa tam. Yurjin tumung me bango goni sipar mumumba number tarpa go mumba me pate somtang. Tu som ji chu tamche, de patang mumba da tatar ji chu tamche. Tangpur jeva me pa, pata ne pa me pa, tan kakpa me pate, jenga ne somtang charbe. Junyi namkatar nyamba nyita, tusom nyamba nyita. Yeya ngunji ne tenpa, mune jiri nam, munta rikpa ta rikpa somdere, ngunji ta rikpa. Chempo wa ta jewa rikpa, le meke ngunji yam yang na senta rikpa. Nyumomba sepa tang, ripa sepa tang, lar me jewa rikpa, Rekpe sakpa sepa rekpa. Te. Tu som ju chu nam la. Mihi batam che do pa san jo sepe rekpa nam pa som dang. Som dang che pa ngon som da je pa ye goni, ngon du chur pa goni, kirab je paru da sen pa nyor du zo par hyo je pa.
So the commentary then, which takes these three things in the root verse, the three gates of full liberation, equal nature, the three times, and the three types of knowing. So it first discusses these three sets of concepts. The first gate to full liberation is emptiness that is disengaged. Literally, the Tibetan says isolated from conceptualizing mind, which is the opposite of abiding reality or ultimate reality. And Rinpoche also added the gloss of ultimate truth. So that's the first gate to full liberation. The second gate to full liberation is the absence of grasping onto signs, or you could say the absence of clinging to signs or marks. Sometimes it's translated as. This is a pacification where no signs appear in relation to, and there are two ways of interpreting the Tibetan. Rinpoche this time just said objects. So I think that's probably a clearer translation, because one of the three gates deals with objects and the others deals with subjects. So those are a natural pair. So let's just eliminate or directions there and leave it as objects. So that's the second one. No signs appear in relation to the objects. One doesn't cling in any way to the signs of objects, it would appear. And the third gate to full liberation is not having any longing or any, one can say, aspiration is another translation of the term. And the explanation of that is, since the subject is essentially free of bewilderment or not knowing or ignorance, there is no longing for samsaric existence. These are the three gates to full liberation. Then the next, that's the first line of the root verse. Then to the commentary in the second line of the root verse, the equal nature of the three times. Very short. All the phenomena of the three times have an equal nature, which is just like space being free of arising, abiding, and ceasing. So in the beginning there's no arising, in the middle there's no abiding, and at the end there is no cessation or no disappearance or dissolution. And then the last set of the three concepts that's dealt with here is called the three types of knowing, or Rigpa Sum. So further, the first of these three kinds of knowing is the knowing of previous limits, or extremes, sometimes the term is in Tibetan, or ends, which is the recall of previous places. And that means that one is able to bring to mind former places where one was born. So that's basically dealing with the past. Then the next one deals with the future. The knowing of future limits, or the divine eye, knows the transference that is death, transference of consciousness that is death, and also future births. And the third kind is the knowing of the extinction of defilements. And Rinpoche commented here, defilements could be understood to be the kleshas, the afflicted mental states, or it could also be the two obscurations of kleshas and of obscurations to omniscience. So this kind of knowing recognizes that these have come to an end and will not arise again. They're completely finished. Through actualizing, then this last is a comment on all three, through actualizing this reversal of all ignorance related to phenomena of the three times, which is the Bodhisattva's three types of knowing, may I swiftly perfect the paramita of prajna.
Dine sancho tipachembe lo la shirab je parad simba thar simba teyang nam tha go som je tung ba ni de ngon som de to dine de som nyam ba ni de to sancho sebe repa som
So, in the context of the Mahayana, if one is perfecting one's prajna and through working with it, one realizes directly the three gates of full liberation. One attains the realization of the equality of the three times, or the equal nature of the three times. And one also attains the three kinds of knowing of a bodhisattva.
Dine namba gosun lam jarchar mandrava naso yobare. Depa tatava maumba chusum la chusum mamekpa la namba gosun jarvata. Chusum mamekpa la jarvata. Yang upo namje ngô mà mấy ba rằng yên tông ba nhị tần gió mà mấy ba gió xem mà mấy ba tần đẹp mà mấy ba đẹp mà ba mấy ba thế gió tần đẹp ngô bộ xóm là chờ ba tần yàng yết tần lan tần đẹp xóm chơi ôm mà là chờ ba số yếu mồ chơi thiên ra bộ yếu này yàng cam đẹp công tần đẹp cao số chờ sốt thế bắt đến đào ba trai bên thế bên thế gió ôm mà là chỗ ba lê xong ba tần đâu có ba yên là
Then the text returns back to the three kinds of full liberation, and there are different ways of interpreting them. So it gives some of those. Indeed, the three gates of full liberation are also related to the non-observation. The word in Tibetan, mimikpa, can also mean non-existence. So you could say non-existence here. If you don't see something, then it's not existent for you. So related to the non-observation of the three types of phenomena, past, present, and future, so you could relate the first gate of liberation dealing with emptiness to the past, the second one to the present, and the third one to the future, or to the non-observation of the three aspects of things, their essential nature, their cause and result. So the essential nature would be like emptiness, and the cause would be grasping onto signs of some sort, and the result would be, the cause would be not grasping onto signs of things, and the result would be one would have no expectations, no longings for the result. So that's a second way of looking at the three. And another way is to relate them to basis, path, and fruition, Madhyamaka. Here, however, they have been structured according to the teaching in Chandrakirti's Madhyamaka Avatara. And then there's sort of just a comment at the end. It is said that the explanation of the three types of knowing is similar in meaning to the explanations in the section of this text on the extraordinary faculties, those six faculties that we looked at before.
Tene namdar kosam te jonde ngo po som na jarwa te tha che bare mang jawa koyan le lagre jonde ngo po som na jana tatar che na man te kunzo to jujin tende cho ta je na wa nang tan do bare yang ta par rangang o ma do pa rangang o ma do pa tang o ma mek pa de rang yin tong ba ni re rang yin tong ba ni tatar je ngo pu rang yin tong ba tatar je ngo po rangang o ma do pa ma mek pa rang yin tong ba ni tatar je ngo po de la kunzo to jyo yi re jyo rangang o ma do pa jyo la jyo che ma ma ba jyo la ngo ma ba jyo rangang o wi tong ba la tene jyōn tsēmā mē pā tōngpā nī tātār jōngā pō ndēlā tēntē yāng dēvā chēpā rē yēk rē dēvā tē yāng rāngā ngōvī mātō pā lā dēvā māmbā mē pā māmbā mē sē chē tē dēvā lā khēmbā mē pā dēvā lā yīmō mē pā kē jāntā wā rē dēvā tē kuñcō tō nāng tsāng mālam tāvā jū chīn tē tē tsō tsāng jē nāvā mālam tāvā tāng Tundam ngô madropa mikpa mepa ngô madropa yino Tini deva la tenpari khenpa mampa mjongwa sena deva mampa mepa Tini junte ngupo somla jarva te traha cheva re Yang koyang lela kare
The most widespread way and actually the easiest way of understanding these three gates of full liberation is to look at them through these three of cause, effect, and the thing. So if one looks at them in this way, first, what appears to us right now, what's appearing before us at this moment, is an appearance that arises through the gathering together of causes and effect. And because of that, it's a mere appearance. Ultimately, it doesn't truly exist through having some kind of essence. Or you could say that ultimately it is non-existent or non-observed. It is by nature emptiness. On the level of apparent reality, there is a cause, but that cause is not truly existent. We're in the second one, right? We do the just to make it clear again. The first, what talking about the present appearances is coming, arising from interdependent arising, that is dealing with appearances or things that appear, then the second aspect of the three gates would be the cause. And on the level of apparent reality, causes do arise, but they do not exist through having some kind of essence. They have no defining, from the point of view of ultimate reality, no defining characteristics and no essence. And then if we look at the question of fruition, one has no expectations in relation to fruition, which is another way of saying no clinging to it. One has no wish within one's mind that that might happen. So one sees present appearances then as the mere gathering together of various causes and conditions, that they are dreamlike, ultimately not existent or not observed. And so that is how one understands not having expectations about the result. When we were studying the prayer previously on page 31, there was the verse that deals with the aspiration to attain the no-self of phenomena. And that verse said, future phenomena are not born, those past will not occur. Present phenomena have no inherent nature, there is no actual location, there is no perception, there are no outer things. May I realize the Dharma Dhatu, which is empty. So if we connect this verse together with the prajna, the paramita of prajna, then it's a very good way of looking at things.
Majipa, Mahombechu, Majipa Tumbata. They pitch you, Lamajumba Tumbata. Tatar Jumabur and Yemabas. Take up the tattoos on the Jana Yang, take up the Namtar Gosom Tengu.
So, in discussing the no self of phenomena, we looked at phenomena under the rubric of three times that. In the future, they will not arise, and so they are empty. In the past, they did not arise, and so they are empty. And the present one, through having some kind of inherent nature, also does not exist. There is no inherent nature in the present phenomena, and so they also are emptiness. And so one can then combine that with the three doors of liberation. So if we look at the verse on the paramita of prajna, it speaks of the equality of the three times and of these threefold doors to liberation. So if we look at the present, a present thing, then you can analyze that according to the three times. And if these, and one does it in the following way, one sees that the three times do not truly exist. And a thing has to depend on the three times. A thing has, or a phenomena has to appear within the past, present, or future. So if the three times do not exist, there's no place for things to exist either. So in that sense, one can say that things also do not exist. If one looks at the question of time within the context of a dream, then one might have the following dream, which could be an example. One finds oneself in a terrifying dark forest where there are tigers and lions and all kinds of carnivorous beasts, snakes waiting to do you in. And so if you go through a space like that, you're full of fear. And then you exit from the forest and you come to a very pleasant kind of road. And you look ahead of you and see ahead of you a very nice meadow. And you think, oh, that'd be a nice place to have a picnic and so forth. So this kind of path one can parallel to the three times. The past was the forest that you went through that was fearful. The present is this nice path that you're walking along, and the future is the meadow where you want to have a party. So if you think about this situation within the dream context, from the point of view of the way things appear, they appear as separate. They appear as different places within inside the dream. And when we don't recognize we're dreaming, we cling onto them as being like that. However, from the way things are, from the true nature of their mind, the three times are equal. They are of an equal nature. Within their true nature, there is no difference between them. So, from the point of view of the way things appear, the non-sur, then things appear separate and different. And from their true nature, the netzel, or from the way they truly abide, they have an equal nature. So it's important to understand this, not to confuse the way things appear with the way things they truly are truly. Either taking the first to be the second, or the second to be the first. One shouldn't get caught by these seeming contradictions.
Then nga zu drowa dongwa thawa la jan na lamgan dawo chin ne do na then gomba po sen ba pe ke la po wa kang ban do lin thawa de de ba de ma song be kang ban do lin gomba ma pe zi pe sa de ma ong ba de dan da kang ba sa le ya yin ba do lin se yin ba de ta ta ba de Then, traveling in the Samna Tanda Wala,
chakhe trawa, samno trawa tangna madro pare, malam rao yogare tenyang. Malam da lamga la ndoba da chikware. Desana, ten rao la rong madro pasikindo. Hirabja paru da simba la rong madro parten pare. Vambu lodok jan rong takpa la ten rao lamga la ndoba la jane, rikpa trawa sumpare. Tene nga so yang, rikpa trawa tenyi samno tangna. Lamga la ndoju kante sen rong.
No going, no coming and no going is also explained in particular in the Prajnaparamita literatures, where it's said that the nature of the mind or emptiness is beyond going and beyond coming. And one way one can understand that is if one thinks about walking along a road. And if one looks at this from the point of view of the walker, there really are two roads. There's either one has lifted up, there's a place where one has been, so one was lifting one's foot up to go, and then there's a place that one will go to. But between those two, there isn't any actual present going. And so one can say that there is no past, present, or future in this way, or no coming and no going. And this analyzing walking, the process of movement, is something one finds within the Mula Madhyamaka Karikas of Nagarjuna. He analyzes this process very, very subtly and very carefully, and that's also the way we should look at it.
ဒေလဆန္နတံရောနဆန္နဒုစိကေတေလူယောတော့ဗရေမတော့ဝတ်တဲ့မယောဗရေအင်္ဂါဆန္ဒောဘကပ်ဆောကံပချေနံပန္နံလယောဗကပ်ဆောကံပချေတေဆာလဒေယရေမယောဗရေတင်းဒုလူတေလန္ဒောဘကပ်ဆောကံပယေနံခါလပန္နံလယောဗကပ်ဆောယံပန္ဒဝတေဆာလတော့ဒေယရေယောကမာရေကံပချေယောဗကပ်ဆောချေယောကမတော့လူလယောဗချတာမယောဝချညေရေတင်းဒါယောဗချတာမယောဝချညေတင်းရောယတဆန္ဒောကတော့တေနာတင်းနေမာတော့ဗရေ ယောဝတ္တံရောနကံပယေယောဝတ္တံရောဝိနယုံတယောကမတောဒေနောယုံမယောဝတ္တေဒေနယေတယောတောကတောယောဝတ္တမယောဝညေရယောဝတ္တမယောဝညေချပါတလငနေဆတောကတောငနေတောငေယမတောတေတောဘလာကျေနေတင်းနေရောကပါစံကျေကျေရောတေပါစုံပါရံဘုံဘုလတ္တပြေရပမံပတပါတံငါဆွေယံရပတေတောဘတော
If you think about the walking in general, or moving along in general, there are two possibilities. Either your body is moving or your body is not moving. So if you're moving, you're going, and if you're not moving, you're not going. So that's sort of the basic situation. So if we look into that then, when we're going, when we're walking, we have one foot that's in the air, and the other foot's on the ground, right? In the morning. Okay, so the foot that's in the air is moving. The foot that's on the ground is in place, it's not moving. So you have a situation where one leg is moving and the other leg is not. So which one of these is the person who's walking? If you say the person that's walking is the leg that's not moving, then you've left out the part of the person that's moving. If you say the person that's moving is the leg that's moving, then you've left out that part of the person that's not moving. So what do you do in that kind of situation? It's not possible to have one person who is both moving and not moving. So who is it that is moving? And through these kinds of analysis, Nagarjuna analyzed the process of moving, and he was actually sort of taking further or looking into the statement of the Buddha that said, there is no coming and there is no going, and he analyzed this statement using many different kinds of reasonings. Another way of working with this is to analyze movement and non-moving. And one analyzes each of them and comes to see that they are indeed beyond being one or being many. For example, that which is moving, it has to move in time, though. So it moves in one moment. But that moment doesn't last. It disappears instantaneously. So it's, if one takes that one instant and analyzes it, one can see that it's made up of many, many different divisions, and one can keep analyzing each one, dividing it again and again and again, increasingly into increasingly subtle divisions, and come to see that it ultimately or actually doesn't exist. And one can do the same thing with the leg that is not moving or that is remaining, that's staying in place. It also, that remaining is also an event that happens instant by instant. And if you take one of those instants and analyze it, it can be divided into many smaller parts, and one of those small parts can be divided again, and you can keep on dividing each increasingly subtle part this way. And one comes, in this way also to see that it ultimately does not exist. So in using this reasoning of being beyond one thing or beyond many things, one can see that both movement and non-movement don't ultimately exist. So, if one instant of them doesn't exist, then of course a bunch of many non-existents also would not exist. So being beyond one, it's automatically beyond being many. One way you can see this for yourselves is by turning on your television and putting in a video. And if you put in a video, and if you had a machine that could really, really slow it down, say you were looking at a horse race or like people racing, you could slow that down into each frame of the film. So in this way, this is sort of the process that you're doing when you're analyzing a moment of time. You're slowing it down and you're seeing into each instant. So this way you divide things into increasingly subtle moments of time. And finally, you come to something that's so subtle it can't be seen.
Mlam je pel sam te, tene nyam ni je tawa. ညမြေလငိရှိကျေနတပါရေငိရှိကျေနယံငါဆိုလာငါတနှံတေကြေငနေညမြေငုံတေကြပါလာဂုံကောရေတံပုံငိရှိကျေကောတော့ငိရှိမကျေနညမြေဂုံရယောရေငိရှိတာပဲငိရှိကျေတနေညံပညေကျေဂုံကြမ်းနတနေညမြေကျေတော့ပန်ငုံတေကြရေ
All phenomena are like this. They have an equal nature. All the phenomena that depend really on the three times. The phenomena couldn't appear without the three times. So all these types, all the phenomena which depend on the three times, which is all phenomena, such as being clean and dirty, being an enemy or a close relation. All of these kinds of seemingly opposite phenomena arise due to the power of habitual patterns. They are the coming into appearance of habitual patterns. And then we cling to them as being truly existent this way. But actually, if one reflects upon it, it's like the situation within a dream. All the seemingly contrary phenomena that appear within a dream have an equal nature. And this is similar to all the three times having an equal nature. They have an equal nature because they are based on the three times, and the three times are of an equal nature. So in working with this, practicing with this kind of view, what we need to do first is to reflect upon these examples of the dream, for example, or of the videos, and to develop conviction. Oh yes, this is really the way things are. And developing this kind of conviction through reflection is called the view. It's called developing the view, seeing how things are. And then we take that view and we meditate on it. We meditate on the equal nature of all seemingly opposite things or of all phenomena. And through this meditation, then the actual realization of the equal nature of all things will become manifest. In the Mahayana, it's said that when one actually realizes this equal nature of all phenomena, and that becomes manifest, then we are in a very spacious, open, relaxed place. So that's been a brief explanation of the sixth paramita of prajna. So if you have questions, yesterday we said we'd leave some time for questions this morning, so please feel free to ask.
Saying that we create the reality by dreaming, we can also say that within the dream, we create a dream of Buddhahood
or the enlightened path. Path through practicing Kangyo school of Tibetan Buddhism. Isn't it that the practice is also invention and doesn't truly exist?
Okay, your first statement.
It's a question. If we say that nothing really exists, what we see, we create it, it's our apparent reality. Mm-hmm. Is it true that the Tibetan Buddhism and practice of Tibetan Buddhism is also apparent and doesn't truly exist?
Mm-hmm. Then also give back check, give over the double, only the double cause. Then the Indu, then a young, then also Kagiki to look in Yamen down, Yamengi, Tope, Sanjigi Gopan, young, then also give back check, give over the incident.
re dan chur chur che pa kap so chur chur che pa kap so thumong ton chur chur te pak manam ge do pakha pakha la te na chur par ke par pakha te an dember ma do pa se na manam ge do dember ma do pa se na thunang ja wala te ne pakha jang na chur pa na se to par tambote.
The answer will come in parts. While one is explaining how delusive appearances arise in general, then one says that these delusive appearances are like a dream. It's a metaphor that's used, that they arise through habitual mental patterns. But these habitual mental patterns that give rise to the dream appearances are not truly existent. And so in order to purify or refine away our grasping onto the true existence of appearances, first we have to work with our mental habitual patterns. We work with those patterns and we purify or clear away those mental habitual patterns.
The next side of the temple, Lola, Tumondo, Pakya controller, Hepare, Tumong Mahimbatak, the Sena, the name Namto, the same genel of Saja temple, Ransartam, Namto, your Zuka terror result, Namate, Ramu, Tavi Hepare, Penna Hien, Sengila, Nanan Tonje. Jatung Shava Nirva Yara Te Nima Wu Tang Te Na Sirutan Jatung Shava Yendo Tene Namto Semje Ransa Nama Semje Randang Sine Hecho Yara Te Sajya Chimpe Tumong Mayimpe Hecho Re Yine Yang Pakhya Ke Hecho Te Le Tampu Pala Tene Pakhya Le Trusho Te Ye Nama To Tumong Mayimpe Trusho Te Kokale Kavo Yara Chobo Tumong To Pakhya Ke Trusho Le Tampu Ngi Hecho Kung Tela malam je pela so pa pe yamang ko yare.
If one looks at the situation from the perspective of the Mahamudra, then it also explains appearances, auto appearances, the way one we had just seen, that they are the delusive appearances arising from our habitual patterns. So that's it has this a way of explaining that's common to various Buddhist schools. But the Mahamudra also has its own particular or uncommon way of explaining outer phenomena, the appearance of outer phenomena. And it does it in the following way. It says that the conceptualizing mind is the creative energy of Mahamudra, or the true nature of the mind. And that the objects, the five objects that appear outside, seemingly outside, are appearance and emptiness inseparable, and that they are the self-radiance of Mahamudra, or the true nature of the mind. And the example that's used for this is a crystal. So the crystal, just like the mind, has the ability to project rainbows and so forth. So it has a certain potential. And when the rays of the sun hit a crystal, then because of that potential is there, rainbows appear, say, on the walls around your room. Those are the appearances, the objects. So these are two ways of understanding what appearances are, that they are the delusive appearances from our habitual mental patterns, or that they are this self-radiance of Mahamudra, the true nature of the mind. First, when we are starting out on this path of practice, we start with this first level of understanding that they are delusive appearances of our predispositions, our mental imprints, or habitual patterns. And we need to work with that over time and come to understand clearly that situation. And then, when we practice with that, we move on to the Mahamudra understanding.
Then they are Pakshaka Trusari Shepate, Malana Jana, Malango, my Shepa Kapje, Trusari Shepa Jana, then Nimu Pakha Latin and Tunan Shavarazi, Yagar, then I would. Saja Chamber, then Saint Janelo Saja Chamber, Sata Robat, Malango Shepa Dao, Malango Hina, then Sata Robat Daore, Nawaya Nado Yemere. Semyang, Satong Yemede, Nansimene Tate Yomare, Malango Hippa Kapje, Kapla Deke Japandao, Yomere.
Another way of understanding the difference between these two approaches is that the first one, when we are seeing outer, well, when we are caught by outer appearances actually, and do not recognize that they are the delusive appearances of our habitual patterns. That's similar to not recognizing that we're dreaming when we're dreaming. And so what happens in this situation is on the basis of the habitual patterns that we gather during the daytime, then we set into our minds these delusive habitual patterns. The second way, seeing that outer phenomena are the radiance of mind's creative energy, that is similar to recognizing that we're dreaming while we're dreaming. The first one we didn't recognize we're dreaming. Here, we're recognizing that we're dreaming. And when we do that, we see phenomena to be emptiness and appearance inseparable. And we see the mind to be clarity and emptiness inseparable. So all the objects are empty appearances and all the minds that relate to them are clear emptiness. And further, these appearances understood to be appearance and emptiness inseparable and the mind understood to be clarity and emptiness inseparable, they are not different from each other. They are not separate things.
Tene tan ambalola the trutor tang trutor shepa mambo yoba the nelo la nyaba ni ne yang kanza hirap wangbo rap the hirap rap dang 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 tama la tu de tene kisor mandava mambo yoba gogo yore kisor mandava mambo me na tene kisor chik chik yina pengo yoba simchi mambo la pito mada.
In Buddhism, there are a great number of explanations of how we get deluded. Even though the true nature of the mind is the equal nature of all phenomena, we have various ways of deluding ourselves. And these explanations of how we are deluded are multiple because there are many different types of sentient beings. There are the superior and the middling and the the lower capacities. And so because people have many different capacities and many different qualities, there are many different ways of explaining how we become deluded. So this is actually very necessary. If there were just one way of explaining this and you didn't get it or it didn't somehow work for you, then many sentient beings couldn't be benefited. So for that reason, there are numerous ways of explaining how the mind is deluded.
Tene drova te yang geva pakha te shok chere chere ndo du drova yang pakha la te ne drogre se na digre.
Uh, One can also say, however, that one can become liberated on the through habitual patterns. And how would this be? Well, one involves oneself in virtuous or wholesome activity, and that then lays into one's mind streams of positive habitual patterns, and they then through one's activity become stronger and stronger. Then there are also different ways of explaining where these habitual patterns abide. It's said that the delusive habitual patterns abide in the alaya vijnana, the all basis consciousness, and that of course would apply to the schools that accept the existence of this, some don't. And that the bhaksha, the habitual patterns that bring us to liberation, abide within the radiant clarity of the mind, or within the wisdom of the mind.
I have four more questions, if you have time.
How many more?
Four.
Four. Let's see if anyone else has a question first, and then we'll see.
Yeah.
Sundar Chimbal.
I think I may have missed something. Many things. The 21st paragraph, it said the first gate of full liberation is emptiness, disengaged from conceptualizing mind, which is the opposite of abiding reality or ultimate reality in the translation. I was just wondering what was actually meant by ultimate reality there. I kind of missed that.
Okay. Namba trabe go sum, sum ve kaf, and drabale, Neluk dundambe mitunbe chok. Then the dundambe di re dundambe di kandisi kogo kiyame.
Dundan trudra le yagre. De oman jo polo yin song dong. Dundan trudra yin be sen na nam do ko trupa de trudra jeng kada re. Then nam do ko dundan trudra jeng kada nam do ko.
No.
Nam tok ki wemba.
Here, as a comment at the end of the text said, what we're the school of explanation, or the particular viewpoint that's behind the explanation in this particular section, comes from Chandrakirti. And Chandrakirti belonged to the Prasangika Madhyamaka school. So within that school, their way of understanding what ultimate reality is freedom from mental constructs, or freedom from mental elaborations, freedom from complexity, is the way Trungpa Rinpoche translates it. So this being the case, then what is the exact opposite of that is the conceptualizing mind. The deluded conceptualizing mind is its opposite. And so within this school's perspective, what one needs to do is to abide within a place that transcends or is beyond all the delusions of conceptualizing mind. The text said one, I translate as disengaged from conceptualizing mind, or one can say one should be isolated from or separated from conceptualizing mind. So This is basically a prasangika view, where they say, this is to summarize, where they say that ultimate reality is free of all mental elaborations, and therefore, of course, what would be opposite to that is mental elaborations or conceptualizing mind. So when one has freed oneself from all of these kinds of conceptuality, conceptualizing mind, and the mind that is free of mental elaborations or mental constructs becomes manifest, that then is the realization of this first kind of gate, first gate of full liberation, which is emptiness. It's another way of saying to realize emptiness. And then the second gate talks about grasping onto objects as being free of, let's say, free of any kind of grasping onto signs, any fixation on marks or defining characteristics of those particular objects. So when one's relating to an object, one is free of all of that kind of fixating perception.
Then yojin tumok mae pe ngo go ni se de tumok le tro yon du si pe lon jo la si pe de ji la man ba mae ba te de ba man ba mae ba ya gan do nga su ko pe de ji la man ba yo ba ga bo yo ba te tumok la ten ba re tumok le tro yon du te ne si pe de ji la yimo mae ba nga la ten da bo ya po chong na chi po chong na sa pe man ba mae ba cha ga yo re
The third gate is the gate where one is freed of ignorance, where the subject is freed of ignorance or dullness or bewilderness. And how do we understand that? Well, on the basis of that ignorance, we have a craving or desire for the good times that samsara existence, samsaric existence provides us, for the wealth, for being comfortable and happy. And because one has liberated oneself from ignorance, one doesn't desire these anymore. One has no aspiration. One doesn't have the wish, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if I just had, you know, a Mercedes-Benz or whatever. So one is freed of ignorance and therefore freed of this kind of desire or aspiration or expectation. And that's sometimes hard for us to understand, but if we think about the situation of the dream, of recognizing it and not recognizing it, then that's helpful. And then before we looked at these cause, fruition, and the thing, so if we connect that up with the three gates, this first explanation, then it will become very profound. Second question.
Yeah. Second.
Would Rinpoche expand on the comment about patience regarding, nor do they remain in any extreme of mental constructs or apprehending signs, such as I will be patient with the harm this person has done, or I was patient with it.
Mm-hmm.
By attaining a patience that is spacious like the sky, with never an opportunity for anger or irritation to arise, may I swiftly perfect the paramita of patience. Is that synonymous with Vajra-wrath, I guess? When Vajra-wrath is aroused, anger is cut right through. That's the question.
Mm-hmm. Vajra-wrath. Can you say a little bit what you mean by Vajra-wrath?
I don't know if I really understand it. But that's in... is it, I guess, the same as... I don't know if I understand that really well. But it's in a... I guess, is it the same as practicing the view of one taste? In other words, just recognizing that...
You mean like Vajra pride, Vajra wrath?
Right, I think Vajra pride.
Zupa paradu simba.
Kapsu.
Kapsu. Tene zupa tarsimba, tene shedang langi mare, zikpa tsagi mare. Tene kongi karidire, konto doje, doje konto, tang doje. Angaja tungo rimashi ki sungi rivela. Tene ti jindu ngola, ti kontu ngola gomne. Tene di paradu simba tarsine tene shenang langi marawala. Tene di tang doji shenang ang doji kontu ki jawa kanda se kobe yume.
De doji shenang se jete, teso doji te kulogre.
Lato.
Shenang ke ne lok. ते सातोंग रे ये दांग के नए लोग सातोंग गम ना सातोंग ला सातोंग अन्ना जान ये दांग ना डोट दो जोर चें सातोंग को वो लंजोरा में बस है ना ते ने दोर्जी ये दांग से जाते दोर्जी ये दांग दांग दोर्जी ते भी लो ला ये दांग के जो भी यंग से करे ते ना वो ता ये दांग ला जा वाले Dorje table low like Hedang get you by young cigarette. Then Rawo, Ta Hedang la Java Remato, New Mumba Kanga Chekware, New Munga, Nelo Gomba Te, Tela Tene, Tongan Chopa young cigarette. Tonga, New Munga,
Tongan Chopa,
Newman, Tongan Nelo Gombe, Tongan Nelo Gomna, same Jen Nelo, De Tong Saja Chembola. Chopan Rabu Jagare. This and the Tongan Chopa Yang cigarette. They dodge the blore. Tandan de, the ne, take by Timber Logre, Zerpe, Zerpe Yamling, Comban Tarsen, and Juma Yellow Pay Yard, and Juma Maropa Yen, and Tropa Mabatam. The ne, Lomse Mabat, the Tony Topi Hirogore, Tongbany, Tona, Nazerpa Gomba Poy, Nazerpa Yapoy, Yendaga Zerpa Gongo Madok Samba. Yin la member zebe topa te mevala tonye gongo yore.
Tumpani toksarne tene nga nga zupa po dang jen zupa yulu.
Tonye mato na nga zupa chin yin sabba maja tang yin zupa mevala yang memba zogre.
Oh, re.
Te mazo vala ten tonye togore. Tongwa nyeji tong togore. Tene nam katam.
We're here working with two traditions. Here, this is a Mahayana tradition. This text is squarely within the Mahayana. And when you're talking about things like Vajra pride or Vajra wrath, that is the Vajrayana, of course. So to look at it first from this Vajrayana perspective, what happens, for example, when one's speaking of Vajra wrath or Vajra anger, if one looks into that anger, one discovers its true nature. And the true nature of that anger is clarity and emptiness, inseparable. So when one does that, one practices within this tradition, looking into the nature of the anger, discovering this clarity and emptiness, inseparable, then one rests within that. One practices resting within that clarity that one's discovered in the midst of the wrath or the anger. And in doing that, the anger is naturally liberated. One's liberated automatically from the anger. It is released into its ground, which is the true nature of the mind. So that's how one works with the anger. And because the nature of that anger the essential nature of that anger does not change. It's always this clarity and emptiness inseparable. It's said to be Vajra, because the Vajra is a symbol for that which doesn't change. So that's why you have a term like Vajra wrath or Vajra pride and so forth. So actually within the Vajrayana we have terms such as the practice of wrath. And actually you can apply it to all the different kleshas. It's the same process. One meditates on the essential nature of the klesha, and having discovered that, one rests within it, and through resting within it, that klesha is liberated of itself. There's also the term, the practice of the five poisons. And if one meditates on the true nature of the five poisons, one discovers Mahamudra, bliss and emptiness inseparable. So that's another kind of practice, the practice of the five poisons. But here, we are within the Mahayana tradition. And there, one speaks of the paramitas. And when one's practicing patience, one can work with an example that's given in the text of the four elements. And when the four elements do not become disturbed, and in that same way, one's mind doesn't become disturbed by the anger. It is able to maintain the patience. And actually, it's not really possible to attain this kind of patience without having attained emptiness. It's the attainment or the realization of emptiness that allows one to remain within this patience no matter what happens. And if one has realized emptiness as well, one doesn't have this idea of an I that thinks, I am practicing patience, I'm so wonderfully forbearing, and so forth, and others don't do this as well as I do, and so forth. Because one's realized emptiness and the non-existence of the self and so forth, that kind of grasping onto one's concepts doesn't happen.
Tene parsen te pe lok ze ba gon de kontre chon da ze pe peyon de zo tam je yang ni an de sam de tene ze ba gon go.
So when one's practicing this Mahayana path of the paramitas, one needs to reflect again and again on the faults, the downside of anger, and on the all the wonderful qualities, the benefits, the upside of patience.
Tene
like
yeah.
That.
As I learn more and more about the Mahayana school, I don't understand how a Hinayana path can lead to enlightenment. Does it lead to enlightenment, or is it like in one life you are Hinayana and then you progress to Mahayana?
Ta Sanje Gikopan top tuki mare, double gisama yore. Tene di double chickena, sedila, techmen, yamlin chena, tene, zewa jema, tech chen gin yamlin chena, di double rebe, young country.
Dambo kane.
Dambo, chickena, se pena di double, chickena di double yongiri, sedila, techmen gin yamlin che. Then it's se jema.
Tech
Lamita chomba thomne shewe yeng lang karpa jala sopa ne Tene tingin tene yeng te thakwa chenpi lang lang shong ne Sanje je kompa dro kubar songpa re thikin Tese na nyitwe ta ranja je thakwa de ngarsu thakwa ndao Tese ngarsu ja te thakwa chenpi lang lang shong yandao Thikin je dole atendu songpa re ngarsu ma
Ngarsu
Pena jamchu nang ne Mama trosing tanda dao mewa de Tosengla, Tsongpa Tsong Tsongpa Kapsa Thang Chie Yungdu Tene Sanchu Tsongpa Taipo Nyingche Chienche Jamso Nanda Ling Tengche Tro Tana Tesa Ngaso Ja Yang Tsongpa Tsong Tsikare Si Tenra Vipi Tsongpa Re Tema To Khonso Thang Chie Tene Rotu Kame Vare Ta Lamtong Pata Sanchu Tsongpa Pakpa Sanchu Tsongpa Chie Yina Tene Lingka Ling Chong Chong Tro Tuk Do Ling Chong Chong Tro Tena ngārso jā, yā ngārso ni yā ngrotu gure. Tena yī ngārso yā ngrāvu sōngu re. Ngārso tīkpa ngrāvu. Pārto tēne rēmbē sāngjī jī kōmpa tōku.
It's possible that this kind of relationship could exist where in one lifetime you would practice the lower vehicle and in the next lifetime the Mahayana. And there's, of course, a whole discussion behind the terms that are used to refer to this vehicle. We say the Shravakayana or the Theravada path. And from the Mahayana perspective, as you've probably sensed, it is said that the compassion that's generated on this path is not very great, and that also the prajna, the wisdom, is not as great. And however, they do meditate on non-self, and through this meditation on non-self, they say in seven lives or so, one can attain the level of an arhat without remainder. And when one attains this level of an arhat without remainder, remainder is of the five skandhas, they cut the connection to the five skandhas, then what happens is that they go to a very peaceful, tranquil place. And they hang out there for kalpas, very, very long time. And then the Buddha enters into a particular kind of samadhi that wakes them up. And they're waking up, they're awoken from this long vacation, and they become aware that they need to practice the Mahayana. He gives them the teaching, okay, now it's time, you know, it's time to get on the plane, you know, and come home from your vacation and practice the Mahayana. So in the Mahayana sutras, it's actually sometimes the Shravakayana is referred to as the vehicle where you can take vacations, the vehicle of taking vacations. And an image that's sometimes used to explain this is, for example, if you were trying to cross the ocean in a boat and they didn't have, you know, these great ocean luxury liners we have today, they had, you know, boats they had to work really hard to get across the ocean in. And so if the teacher, so of course the person that's trying to go across the ocean in this boat working very hard is the practitioner. And if the practitioner's teacher is a bodhisattva with having this great compassion, then that bodhisattva is able to emanate an island and a nice Club Med type island, you know, for this person who is working so hard to get across the ocean. And so he or she comes to this island and beaches the boat and has a real nice vacation and is able to rest. And they've worked really hard and this rest restores them, and then they're able to continue on the rest of the path. So that is one way of understanding the relationship between the two.
Within the 되네? 양 가바체 거기 녹색.
Within the Sarvakayana, it's said that when one does practices and one for oneself and one attains this level of the arhat without remainder, then one has cut the bond to one's five skandhas. And because of that, one can't be burned by fire or, excuse me, when one attains arhatship with remainder still, one is still not attached to the skandhas, and because of that, one can't be burned by fire or harmed by water and so forth. And then one attains his final arhatship without remainder, and that then cuts completely one's connection to samsara. And therefore, they say you don't have to take rebirth within samsara. You're finished. You're finished with samsara. And in the Mahayana, it said that bodhisattvas continually take rebirth in samsara to benefit sentient beings. So that's the big difference between the two paths, and that's why there's often discussions or debates between the two traditions. One says, once you've attained this arhatship without remainder, there's no need to come back to samsara. And the Mahayana says, bodhisattvas come back to samsara to benefit beings. So the image there again is that of the ocean, that when the arhat then eventually at one point or another, in order to attain perfect, complete enlightenment, has to awake from this sleep, has to leave the island and work again hard for the benefit of sentient beings. Another way to look at this difference further, then, well, the other day when we were discussing the Sarvakayana and how they viewed samsara, it was seen to be a heap of flames, a cemetery of rotting corpses, and so forth. And so through focusing on these kinds of images, they develop a revulsion for samsara. They don't like it. They don't want to come back. And to the Nyantu Gitawadi, Tini Kowadi Dan Dendrup, Sikiribe, Kandido.
Kova Dendrup Drava Sankur, and Kova Dongala Hajan Joya.
So it's as if they still have this seeing of samsara somehow truly existent and the source of great suffering. Whereas when you come to the Mahayana path, then within the Mahayana path it's said that samsara is dreamlike or illusion-like. And having this kind of realization of the dreamlike, illusion-like quality of samsara, then bodhisattvas don't get discouraged. They're not overwhelmed by samsara, but through great compassion, they take rebirth again and again in order to benefit beings. In a dream situation, if you were to fall into a cesspool and you didn't recognize that you were dreaming, you'd do everything you could to get out of it. And this is the way, of course, the Sarvakayana sees samsara. It's a cesspool. So you just want to get out of there and stay out. Whereas if you realize that you're dreaming while you're dreaming, well, it doesn't really make any difference, you know, whether it's clean or dirty. You, you,
You recognize that it's just a dream. In one of the texts of the protector Maitreya through a Sangha called the Dodekyen, the Mahayana Sutra Alamkara, there's a verse that says that bodhisattvas do not weary of taking rebirth in samsara because they see it as being illusion-like and because they are not attached to the situation of samsara. They're not attached to the bliss, because they don't take the situation of samsara to be truly existent. They're not attached to the happiness or the bliss in samsara, and they don't fear the suffering in samsara. They are able to see it as being like an illusion. We will stop here. It's quarter after 12. And if you have questions, we can have some more time this afternoon. So we'll chant three times the